It's good to see everybody. I'm blessed and humbled to be here before you all. I'm excited about this group of players and the staff that we've put around them. There has been an edge in our building since January, and it's been healthy. It's been way evident, and there's a belief that we're going to win, and that's cool to see. You know, the support from our administration, we have Javon Overshone, who's here, that's our deputy AD, and you know, our athletic director, Mac Rhodes. It's just been so strong, and to invest in us and put us in a position to win. And so I can feel that momentum, and I can feel that backing, and I'm energized by it. I've seen, you know, the media poll and kind of where we are predicted to finish, and so I'm excited to prove that wrong. You know, I think in the past couple of years we've done that pretty successfully, you know, both ways, and so excited to get to work and to prove that we're a better team than what we are perceived as. With that, I'll take any questions that you guys got.
Please raise your hand. We'll get you a handheld microphone. We have one here on the left side, fourth row back on the aisle.
Sean J. Roger from CBS Sports. Coach, how you doing?
Good.
So, I mean, this is kind of a simple question, but what happened last year with 7 or 8 months to think about it?
I look at the lessons from last year showing up in the moves that we've made this year. And so we're fully invested now in transfer portal. We're fully invested with name, image, likeness. You know, I'm fully invested in football, which I think is probably the number one thing. And I think those things just moving forward, man, just put us on position to be so much better team. And there's just an energy around the building that I think that shows that. I think you talk to any of our kids, they feel that. And so I'm like I say, I'm excited to get started.
Go to the right side here, second row in the middle.
Kenneth Berry, Touchdowns and Tangents. Coach, when you got to Baylor, you got to a hot start, things changed quickly. How has this senior class kind of navigated, you know, leadership and accountability, and how has it spread throughout, you know, the freshmen and sophomores?
They have seen the good and the bad. They've seen what works and what doesn't work. And, you know, there is, you know, I think of Matt Jones when you ask that question, and Matt's with us today. And I just think of, like, there's a burning desire in Matt to put his best foot forward, to win ball games, and to really show that all the things that we're about is important, but we're winners too, and that winning's important, and we're gonna go out and do that. And I think I feel that from our leaders and our veterans. And, you know, when the players lead in that way, it makes your job as a coach that much easier.
Okay, we'll go to the left side, halfway back on the center aisle.
Dave, Parker Ream from Fox 44 in Waco. Every year, this is kind of your first chance to tell fans and media what's different about this team compared to last year. But this one feels like it has a little bit more significance, at least in terms of the pressure of getting the job done. So what's different about this year's team, and what's going to be different than a 3-9 season?
I think the moves that we've made, I think, illustrated. I think the use of the transfer portal, I think offensive line-wise, we were really able to bring in some people that can contribute and can help shore up a group that really shouldn't have been playing. They were too young to play and should have used the portal the year before, you know. And then I think, you know, there's in recruiting is continuing to this time. It's throughout today. Recruiting is still going on. And so having the NIL money to win some of these recruiting battles and close it out, whereas a year ago, that was not the case. And so I think those are two big changes. I think the biggest change is just being involved with football, with myself. I just think I am at my best when I'm all the way through a technique or all the way about a scheme, and I'm all the way to the depths of it. And then when I come back up, I can speak really strongly about it, and I can own it. And then if it don't look right, I can get mad about it and get it so it's right. And I think that's a big change. And I think that echoes throughout our building. So I'd say those three things.
All right, we'll go to the right side, about a third of the way back near the center aisle there.
Hi, Coach. Jacob Richmond, Lone Star Life. Thank you for your time today. With bringing in Coach Spavital, can you talk about what he's going to bring to the offense? And you talked about a little bit there, but how you approach the transfer portal to run his offense.
Yes. I think he's going to maximize the gray. I think he's going to allow our speed and our skill to play fast. And whereas maybe something had to be done, and there are still things that have to be done this certain way, and this block's got to occur this certain angle, with this certain foot up, with this certain hand placement. But I think the ability to say, hey, we're going to run a choice route, and if they're up, we're going to settle it down. If they're low, we're going to take the top off. If they're out, we're going to bend it in. And be able to have those type of markers where a quarterback and a receiver can get in sync, and then have tempo where stuff's happening fast and you're on the ball fast, and then have really wide splits to where you feel like you're isolated, where it's just you and the offender, and there's no one else, you know, in a neighbor, in an area code that's near you. I think all of those things add to points and add to confidence and offense. And I think the ability to bring people in that fit that can play in space, that have the ability to play slot, the ability to play on a number one receiver, either the Z or X, but be a matchup problem, could be a tight end type body. I think those are all things that we're able to address in the portal to help the offense.
We go back over to the left side, halfway back, right in the middle.
Hey, Coach. Zach Smith, Waco hey. Trip. With you taking on more of that nitty-gritty role and Coach Spavital focusing more on offense, how do you stay focused on some of those big-picture responsibilities that come with the job, and how difficult has that transition been for you?
It's been a lot. I think that the style of coaching that I've done just with defense is like full immersion into it. And that's hard to do when you have another job, you know? And so to try to balance that out and to get that to where you can be an effective leader is really the thing I'm working through right now. And, you know, I rely on the team that we have, the coaches and the leadership with our staff. And we'll plan things out and talk things as they come. And then if there's things that need addressing, right, to be able to kind of sit down and really talk through all of it and put a plan together of, hey, this is how we did it in the past. Is this an autocorrect thing, or does this need a new way to look at it? And so all of those things kind of snap me back into it, you know. But I think one of the fears, I know in the past I wasn't involved on defense, and one of the fears when I took this job was that I would be, you know, walking down the hall and someone would be walking the other way or walking towards me, and it'd be a player or it'd be a staff member or a wife of a staff member or someone, and I wouldn't recognize them or I wouldn't acknowledge them. I'd just be so lost in whatever, you know, football. And I can do that. I've been known to do that, you know. And so I didn't want to do that here. And I just, you know, I think there's got to be some, I'm counting on some growth from the person that I was to this version of it, or we can balance that out better.
I will stay on the left side, second row, right on the aisle.
Richie Obey, Playmakers KU. I'm just talking about the receiver depth, specifically though, Ashton Hawkins coming from Texas State. He already played under the new OC. So what does that bring to his offense and the new look that he'll be able to provide?
He is a mismatch just in terms of linebackers covering him. He's got the ability to have the in and out and the twitch, you know, side to side. But I think what makes him different is the acceleration and the top end speed to close it out. So he's got both. Sometimes the quick guys aren't necessarily the fast guys. And he's got both of those things, you know. And I think the thing that really defines him is that, you know, he ain't in it to lose. He's in it to win and then kind of put it in your face after he wins. And so all of that can't help but come out of him. And I think that's been a welcome addition to our team.
We'll go to the right side, first row in the middle.
Hey, Coach. James Techlinity, White Rose Sun. You were one of the innovators on defense, kind of using the 32 split, but also coming from a 4-4 background. With coaches like Dave Clawson using the slow mesh at Wake Forest, and then you come with Kendall Briles using his play action, are offenses doing a better job now recognizing the plus one defender, even when they're facing a time secondary plus two? And how do you counteract that as a defensive coach?
Yes, I think they are. And I think, you know, as an example, we used to, there was a couple years ago, this 2014, 2013, we would play what we call a red hammer, where if it was twins out there, two receivers, we'd have a nickel in an apex and a safety would be on number two. And if two ran an out, he'd match it. If two ran vertical, he matched it. If two was under the linebacker, he would zone the quarter. And so we're playing quarters over there, but it's really kind of mannish quarters. And the nickel, the overhang, he would play kind of the quarterback role, right? He'd play quarterback on a zone read, and then the linebacker would be inside but would push outside, play the C-gap for the dive. So you'd have two for two. And then any type of throw, you've got leverage on it with the safety. And it, red hammer is best if you can gain, beg and borrow the backside safety. Say there's a tight end that blocks and you can get this safety, you're begging and borrowing to play a cover three in a lot of ways. You can't really do that anymore with the mismatches and the vertical throws and all of it. And so now, you know, we play a version of, hey, it's going to be like a read or a palms if it's it's a run action and a pass. But if it's a pass action, right? So it's not a run read or a run look, but it's a drop back pass. Then we play it like true quarters where the nickel will play two on the out, right? If two is on the out and it's a run read, he's playing run, the DBs handle it. If it's a pass read, the nickel will then match the two. So then we can double one or use the safety high to help with something else. So like that's an example of where, you know, hey, there's a move, there's a counter move, there's always another move, you know. I think the other thing I would say with that would be the ability to run creepers and pressure that out of two high safety, whereas before you did a lot of that as single high. So now doing it out of two high, I think helps your base two high looks because there could be movement, there could be edge pressure, and I think the variation helps keep the O-line honest in terms of targeting and in terms of violence coming off the ball.
Okay, we'll go to the left side, first row.
Coach, Ty Kaplan, the Daily Toreador. With Texas leaving the conference, can you talk about the importance of keeping those in-state rivalries alive?
Yeah, it's I think the regionality aspect of college football has always been important. And, you know, I think it's probably just not important enough, you know, when there's money involved, like the money's involved. I think it's the bottom line. And so I think to try to build to maintain those rivalries that people love and have grown up with is important. And it's really good to see that our league is fighting to do that. You know, I think when you ask the question, what immediately comes to my mind is that, you know, this is a vital time. And I know everyone else in our league thinks the same way. for Baylor or whatever team you support to take the charge of the league, to take that step, because it's wide open right now. And I think the opportunity that's in front of us is not going to be there for long. And so I think there needs to be a team that takes command and kind of leads the charge, so to speak. And we need Baylor to be that team.
Okay, we'll take two more questions. First one will be right here on the right side, second row.
Kenneth Berry, Touchdowns and Tangents. Coach, 2 years ago, you had about six guys drafted. When you look at this roster, and last year you talked about, you know, going 3-9, you hit the portal. Guys probably shouldn't have been playing, but they have the experience regardless. What do you see from this year? Do you see that same number of guys possibly revealing themselves? And then the second question, has RG3 and other, you know, past Baylor greats, Nick Florence even, like, have they kind of brought themselves back around the program and said, you know, like, how can we help?
They have, yeah. To answer the second part of your question, they have. And it's always humbling for me when that takes place. And I'm just way appreciative of it. There's a love for Baylor coming from former players. And we want as many former players as possible to come back and to be around, to be a practice, and to be around the team. And, you know, I think of all the things, right? You're talking about the winning and the championships and the education and all of it. But it's just the of all the things that's most impressive about Baylor to me is meeting the former players and seeing the people that they've become, the husbands, right, the fathers, right, the businessmen, how successful they are, and just the way they move through society and treat other people. It's that's inspiring to me, you know. And so to have them around our team is a win-win. And then, you know, we've got good players on our team. You know, what we need to do is come together and play as a team to win. And then the draft and the next level and all that will come to them. And so I think first things first is let's come together as a team, decide this is what we want to do, let's do it, and then see what comes from it.
Okay, final question on the left side, halfway back in the middle.
Bryce Cherry, Wake Up Trib. Hey, Dave.
Hey.
You created a little buzz this morning with an interview with Sikkim earlier where you mm-hmm. talked about what it takes in recruiting, paying players. Just wanted to ask you about the NIL piece and what Baylor has done maybe over the last year mm-hmm. to kind of increase that and how that has helped you in recruiting.
Mm-hmm. In the past, and I mean this part still holds true today, I've always felt really strong about our recruiting visits, our official visits, our visits of any kind, any type of interaction. You know, the feedback from the parents have been, hey, this is authentic, real people. These are people that are going to be mentors to my son. These are people that care about his education. These are people that aren't going to abandon my boy when things get hard. These are things that there are people that are going to see him still and work to get him back up and where he needs to be. And so that's always been that, and it still is that now. It's that in today's climate, you know, that's not enough. That hasn't been enough. I think that was really kind of the story of last year in a lot of ways. Last year's recruiting is that it wasn't enough. And so now with the money part of it, and I know it's still shocking for people to hear it, but it's, I mean, there's certain guys you recruit, and the money part is kind of how maybe we as a general consensus kind of, it's shocking to hear it. There's some people you recruit that it's like that, but the higher ranking guy you go, it is not like that at all. It's like that's the expectation to get into the thing. And then once you get into the thing, it's an escalator to try to win the thing. And so I think you have to say yes to that, because that's where it's at. And the balance is to be that and then not lose who you are, and to not lose the relationships, and not lose the authenticity and being genuine and really caring. Because, you know, we talk about buying players, and
What you don't want to do is make it so it's so transactional that that's what it is. You're buying and discarding and off and on. And so I just feel like, that's the challenge. You know, as coaches, we're trying to get the best recruiting class, but really what we're doing is trying to be transformational in a transactional all the way act.